With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey there.
Do you have a nice... Thanksgiving holiday?
Oh my goodness. Every holiday should be on a Thursday so we can have a 4-day weekend. It's just great.
Yeah, we luxuriously get a 4-day weekend.
It's typical, but not for everyone. Obviously, anyone who works in the retail industry is working more than ever.
Yes. We'll we may see some of the dividends of that very busy Black Friday, maybe on the music charts.
On the charts.
Next week. Interestingly, the charts that we're about to talk about, the tracking week for the sales charts and streaming charts ended on Thanksgiving night.
Right.
So it's kind of, you're going to see a lot of like post-Thanksgiving shopping next week on the charts.
Yes, yes.
So how will that turn out? We don't know, but stay tuned. Because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got chart news about Mumford & Sons and Mariah Carey, plus a Pop Shop Grammy Roundtable, where we're discussing our thoughts on possible nominees for the upcoming Grammy Awards. Former Pop Shop co-host Jason Lipschitz returns to chat with Keith and I about who we think may get a nod in some of the big categories. It was a really fun conversation, so stay tuned for that in just a bit.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So first up, let's do some chart chat. Before we get into the Grammy chat, let's do some chart chat. Mumford & Sons score their number one third album. Their third number one album on the Billboard 200 chart as Delta debuts atop the tally. Delta, 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 can I help you, help you, help you? The set earned 230,000 equivalent album units in the week ending November 22nd, according to Nielsen Music. Further, that's the biggest week of the year for an alternative rock album and the second largest week for any rock album after only Dave Matthews Band's Come Tomorrow, which debuted at number one with 292,000 units back in June. Yes, I was just double checking my math. I'm like, Thursday was the 22nd. It was. It's still my brain not realizing or not wanting to put together how Thanksgiving was so early this year.
Yes, indeed.
It's weird. Next up, staying with the Billboard 200, as Michael Bublé's Love and The Greatest Showman Reimagined compilation album starts at numbers 2 and 3, respectively. Pop diva Mariah Carey collects her 18th top 10 album as Caution climbs in at number 5. Caution starts with 51,000 units. Amazingly, Katie, out of her 21 total chart entries on the Billboard 200, only 3 of them have missed the top 10. You probably did that math already when I said 18 top 10s, 21 chart entries. That means 3 didn't make the top 10. And all 3 of those were compilation efforts. So basically, if Mariah Carey...
Any of her original albums.
Yeah. all 15 of her albums that have like sort of like new original material. Mm-hmm. So that includes her Glitter soundtrack, her two Christmas albums.
Her Unplugged?
Plus all of her sort of what most people would consider a studio album mm-hmm. that is not Christmas, not Unplugged,
okay.
not a soundtrack.
Okay.
All of those hit the top 10, plus Unplugged, Glitter, and the two Christmas albums. Plus she had a ballads compilation that went in top 10. Plus she had her number ones compilation
of
that
course,
went top 10.
Of course.
Basically, whatever Mariah does probably goes top 10.
The Lamley are nothing if not reliable.
And evidently, I mean, a lot of people are saying lots of great things about the Mariah album, too.
Yes, we were talking to our friend from Billboard News, Tetris Kelly. And he says, it's a vibe.
It's a vibe. I think Mariah might appreciate that.
I think I can quote him on that.
It's a vibe. you know, among all women, Carrie has the third most top tens. Sorry. Only Barbara Streisand with 34 and Madonna with 21 have more top 10 albums in
wow.
the history of the Billboard 200. That's pretty amazing. So sorry.
You got this, Keith.
I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through the rain.
Do you have water? We need.
I believe that's a Mariah Carey song. Through the Rain, isn't it?
I don't know that song.
Well, heck, anyways.
And now it's time for our special Grammy roundtable. As we noted earlier, we sat down with Jason Lipschitz to talk about our thoughts about the possible nominees in the big four categories at the upcoming Grammy Awards. Will the Carters get nominated for Album of the Year? Could Post Malone score a Record of the Year nod?
Mm-hmm.
And will Cher get a Grammy nomination?
We can only hope.
Keith hopes. Take a listen.
So, let's talk Grammy nominations. So joining Katie and me is the OG pop shopper, Jason Lipschitz. Hello, Jason.
What's up, guys?
In the building, even.
In the building, in the flesh. Yeah, I was just on Pop Shop and called in, so it's nice to actually like be able to look at Katie and Keith. And
this is the first time we've actually all done a show physically together.
I think you're right.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, because I've, yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
The one and only time that all three hosts of the Pop Shop have actually physically been in the same space recording the Pop
Shop. What happens if one of us, or if this room gets bombed, like who takes over?
Oh, terrifying thought.
That's good.
All right, we can.
Thanks, Katie.
Sorry, there's no designated survivor for Pop Shop.
Well, the
it's
three of us.
Let's just say Gary Trust.
Yeah,
Gary,
yes.
If you're listening,
Gary, you get this. And
you're the Kiefer Sutherland of the Pop Shop podcast.
Well, the three of us are going to be sharing our thoughts on who could snare some big nominations at the upcoming Grammy Awards, along with perhaps some long shot possibilities and maybe some of our hopes for nominees and. Some lesser categories that, you know, maybe don't get the same kind of shine as the big four on Grammy night. Speaking of which, there are actually 84 categories currently at the Grammy Awards, which is actually down from what it used to be.
Wow.
It was like, I think it's like 100 or something at one point. So they've slimmed down a bit. And the big four categories, which are the marquee ones that are the most prestigious and also happen to blend all genres of artistry, are Best New Artist, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Album of the Year. And a big change to the top four categories this year, there will be 8 nominees in each of the categories instead of the usual 5. So that could really change how the nominees pan out this year. So that'll be very interesting to see. For good or for worse, we don't know. We'll discuss. And some basic dates for you to remember. Nominations for the 2019 Grammy Awards, which reflect the eligibility period of October 1st, 2017 through September 30th, 2018, will be announced on December 5th. The Grammy Awards themselves will take place on February 10th, 2019, and most likely all three of us might somewhere be near the Grammys that
well,
day.
You know,
most
I live
likely
here.
We might somewhere be near the Grammys.
It's mostly
I
if Jason is
that.
Going to come out to LA.
Yeah,
I think he
I hope
will.
So, yeah.
The Grammys are returning to Los Angeles this year. They'll be back at the Staples Center after a brief vacation at Madison Square Garden, which it was at Madison Square Garden, right?
It was.
Yeah, that was weird. everything was different.
Like, it was very strange, like. Because last year was the first Grammy I actually like went to the actual show, which is so cool. And then afterward, I was just like, "All right, I'm going." Like, I went down to like Penn Station and caught a train to my house, and that was very strange.
So that's, I mean, nice in a way.
It was very nice.
I remember like when I was doing the red carpet, and it was like, yes, this red carpet looks familiar because the chandeliers looks the same and the carpet looks the same, but everything was a little tighter.
It was like Grammys in the Upside Down.
Yeah. It was like an Ariana Grande video.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
All right, so let's go through the big four categories and who we think some of the obvious nominees could be, maybe some likely contenders, and maybe some long shots if we have any thoughts on possible long shots. So let's get started with Best New Artist. And this category, an artist will be considered for Best New Artist, this is according to Grammy.com, if their eligibility year release... Or their eligibility year release or releases achieved a breakthrough into the public consciousness and notably impacted the musical landscape.
Even the Grammys don't know what that means.
That's
exactly
a lot of gobbledygook. Basically, it's like, you know, weirdly, people like Cardi B and Post Malone aren't eligible this year. Cardi B had been previously nominated as a lead artist, so she immediately was thrown out the window. Post Malone, they determined they felt that he had already kind of arrived with his first album, so he was too big to be new. So, you know, Katie's withholding
it. Best New Artist is crazy.
It's a weird category.
Well, the example I always think of is like Fountains of Wayne getting nominated. I don't know what year that was, like 2005 or
Shelby
something.
Shelby Lynn being nominated like a million years after she debuted.
And so, but then it's like Post Malone can't get nominated. I don't get it. There's
some weird shake and bake nomination committees that are in the Grammys that do these decisions. But let's get started.
Okay. I mean, I'll just go ahead and take the baton and talk about Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Because that's, you know, I think that she is a very obvious selection. Her album actually came out last summer, the summer before.
Right.
But New Rules had its full moment breakthrough in this year. And it's just like a smash mega hit, and she arrived with it like just as a pop star, fully formed. And then since then, has just been putting out these incredible dance collaborations with Calvin Harris and with Silk City, and it's just like she's got to be nominated. She has to be.
Weirdly, though, New Rules is not eligible for Record of the Year
because it came out on the album when was it actually released as a single?
It's because they submitted it last year.
Oh, jeez.
So this year they put in a live version of New Rules, which of course won't.
That's always the workaround. Yeah.
Yeah, that's happened before.
But Dua as an artist, best new artist, she makes all the sense in the world.
Yes.
Dua.
Jason, do you have any thoughts on who you think might be a lock for this category?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree.
Or a strong possibility.
Dua is probably the safest bet. I think that LMA is probably the next safest bet, simply because Boot Up was one of the biggest hits of the year.
Yeah.
And it kind of came out of nowhere. But also Trip, her follow-up single, performed really well.
Yeah, it was a hit as well.
Yeah, she's really likable. I think that's the thing, is that you have, with Best New Artists, one of the things that I always think about is, how defined are these artists? How much do you, and that's like a subjective thing, but how much do you think the public is aware of someone like, and I think you know who Dua Lipa is to some extent now, even though she's only had a few hits. I think
my
the same
mom
thing,
might not. that's the thing. I always think about, who does my mom know? Which I don't know that she knows.
I mean,
Dua Lipa.
Dua's probably been on the Today Show or Good Morning America.
That's how Debbie Byrne finds out about things, the Today Show specifically. So,
but I think that like LMA, like everybody know, even if you don't know her, you know Boot Up. She's open for Bruno Mars.
Right.
She's had, like I said, multiple hits. So I think Ella is gonna be in there as well.
Looking at some of the other possibilities, you know, we all have notes here in front of us. Marshmallow was submitted. For new artist, I don't know if he's a shoe-in necessarily,
man,
but he's had a big year.
His
bunch
track
of hits.
Record, oh my god!
I think he's a possibility. Is he a shoe-in? I don't know, but with eight available slots this year, that
feels like it has to be.
Yeah, I'm like,
well,
you can really fill out the category.
Feels like in Best New Artist specifically, they really try to like represent genres, you know, like get somebody in there to represent, and that's probably where Luke Combs would come in as well.
He's usually a country artist, always in here.
Yeah, and so I feel like, you know, he had a big night at the CMA Awards, but winning Best New Artist there, and so that kind of makes like maybe that'll pave the way a little bit. But he also is not like a huge personality yet, but his music, I mean, you know, the chart stats. His like first four songs were top 10 on
oodles
country
of
airplay.
He doesn't have that sort of like X Factor. He hasn't really like broken through in like a really super mainstream way, but you can't deny like hit after hit the at country radio. Success, yeah. Well, if we don't have any like other shoo-ins, we can just sort of rattle off who we think, you know, some other plausible people. Troye Sivan, weirdly, is eligible this year, even though Post Malone isn't, though Troye Sivan is on his second full-length album this year,
yeah,
and he had a bunch of EPs before that.
Yeah.
But I guess this year he really made his public breakthrough.
It's really weird.
Sure. I mean, we love Troye Sivan.
Yeah,
friend of the podcast, Troye Sivan. But he's a contender, and, you know, he had a big tour. He's in a movie, Boy Erased. He, you know, had a moment with Bloom, with his album, which went top 10. So he's a possibility. Some other folks, Juice WRLD had a big hit.
Huge hit song.
It'll be interesting to see of these eight nominees, how many are hip hop artists, because there are so many. I think Juice WRLD, I agree, is probably the strongest bet. But, you know, you mentioned like Lil Pump could get in there. Like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much, a spread across those genres hip hop is represented.
Do we need eight nominees in these damn categories?
It's funny because when we all thought we lived in a world where Cardi B and Post Malone were going to get nominated, it actually was kind of interesting to have those eight nominees, even if you knew that they weren't going to necessarily win. If you had this kind of Post Malone, Cardi B, and then you have the Dua Lipa, Ella May, Juice WRLD, and then I think it would be interesting to have like three more to kind of round it out. Is like, oh, I wasn't
just
expecting to see. Yeah, exactly. Because these are such coveted nominations that like, but now it does kind of feel, with those would have been front runners removed, it does feel a little overstuffed.
I actually feel like maybe they should have followed in the lead of the Oscars and done like just album of the year, got multiple,
yeah,
like 8 or 10 nominations, and kept the other categories as 5 or yeah.
I mean, I think people assume that the expansion to 8 nominees in these categories is sort of a answer to how hip hop continually gets blocked in the album of the year category.
And ladies. And the ladies.
Except
don't forget about the ladies.
Well, Adele and Taylor Swift would argue with you.
Obviously. But no, I mean, but they're like last year, I'm looking at specifically where Lorde was the one and only.
Well, I think they were purposely stacking the album of the year deck last year to try to ensure that a hip hop album would win, and that worked against them because they
then it
split
was Bruno.
Nothing wrong with Bruno Mars. All right, let's move on here to our next category: Song of the Year.
All right,
it's a Songwriters Award, and a song is eligible if it was first released or if it first achieved prominence during the eligibility year. Okay, so last year's winner was That's What I Like by Bruno Mars, and we didn't mention this, but Alessia Cara was last year's winner for Best New Artist. So I'm going to start with what I think was probably a shoe-in for this category, is This Is America, written by Donald Glover and Ludwig Göransson, and of course performed by Childish Gambino. It was such a pop culture moment, such a water cooler moment in an era where we don't have water cooler moments anymore. And it was a huge statement song, and that's what I think you can count on in the Song of the Year category. You can count on songs. This is the category where, like, a really well-crafted song with some, like, sort of meaning and something, like, that really says something can get nominated. And also, you can usually count on a country song getting nominated somewhere in the mix for Song of the Year. So that's my sort of shoe-in. That might be everyone else's shoe-in, too.
Well, I think I totally agree with that. I think a strong possibility would be Shawn Mendes for In My Blood. I really like the song.
That'd be cool.
I actually love the album in general, and I hope it gets love across the board, but I think this is a very, like, the strongest possibility, because it's a really fantastic storyline for the Grammys if he and Teddy Geiger get up there and accept this award.
Yeah.
Teddy Geiger obviously was a pop star and then made a transition to living as a woman just like this past year, and Sean has been like hugely supportive of all of this, and I think it would be just incredible to see Teddy
hit
the Grammy stage.
Cool,
it would be, I mean, Grammys love those Grammy moments.
Yes.
But at the same time,
it's also
just a great song.
Amazing song, and as you said, it's one about telling a strong story, and it's a story about, you know, anxiety and about, you know, just...
We- we've had this discussion in our office before, yeah, where you, me, and
you can read that the song a million different ways.
Our departed Stephen Horwitz,
he's still
departed
alive.
From Billboard.
Still alive.
Departed from Billboard. He's not dead. We all listened to the song and got different meanings from it.
Yeah, different interpretations. Which honestly, that's probably like a strong, like a song that or a sign of a great strong song.
Jason, do you have any strong contenders?
I'm gonna vouch for my favorite pop song of the year.
Oh boy, what's this?
Any guesses?
I was gonna say Delicate.
Something by Robin. Is that
eligible? No. Delicate's a good guess.
Love Lies by Normani and Khalid.
No, another good guess. No Tears. Left to Cry.
Oh, great. I mean, how did I not guess that? It was literally the song.
It was my walk-up music during our recent live music summit. I had to pick up, I introed a couple panels, and they asked me what my intro music should be, kind of like my baseball walk-up music.
At-bat song.
I was like, No Tears, Left to Cry.
You didn't pick whatever the Sixers theme is?
No, I honestly...
Sixers theme.
Do they have one?
Good burn.
you like that team, that organization,
the
correct?
Eagles?
Got me.
That was a joking.
But anyway, no, I think No Tears, Left to Cry.
Still didn't ask the question. The Sixers are a team, aren't they?
The Sixers are a team.
Do they have a theme song?
They do, actually.
Okay.
It's called, like, I don't know if it has a name. Anyway, we'll talk about this offline. It's a very good theme song.
Okay. Ariana, that was your walk-up song, your favorite song this year.
Yeah, I love No Tears Left to Cry.
She's never been nominated in, I think, the sort of the big four. She may have been nominated for Best New Artist, which I'm not sure about.
She's not.
But she's never won a Grammy, I don't think.
Yeah. So. And she's never been nominated in the big four, and I love No Tears Left to Cry. I think it's like, honestly, and it was a big hit, and critics loved it. At this point, I almost think it's a little underrated because I think it's just like such a strong, like perfectly composed pop song, just from every aspect of it. I love everything. I love the way that she coos "Shut Your Mouth" like in the bridge, like
shut
that,
your mouth.
Let's get that in Song of the Year.
Now. Truth be told, the three of us do not have the list of submissions for these categories in front of us. None of the three of us are voting members, correct, Jason? You are not?
I am not, no.
So, for all we know, we could be wrong, No Tears Left to Cry may have not even been submitted for Song of the Year.
I can't imagine. Well,
I'm pretty sure God is a Woman is probably the one they're preferring here.
Although, what I was thinking when we were talking about storylines, I mean, that was the post-Manchester bombing song. That was like the song where she came back and she's like, I'm going to sort of address this. It's going to have a little bit of a melancholy intro, but then it's going to be like, I'm going to try to like move on like with this like super buoyant pop song.
Yeah. Well, I think in this case, if it's not No Tears Left to Cry, then it would probably be God is a Woman.
Okay.
Like, they'll probably throw Ariana in here in some
yes.
capacity, especially considering there's 8 slots now.
I have a feeling that No Tears Left to Cry was submitted for Song of the Year.
Are you just winking at me and doing like a finger gun at me for a reason?
Just a feeling.
Just a feeling?
Just a feeling.
Strong feeling.
So yeah. Jason seems to know something. all right. Other candidates, I'm not sure if this is even, I think it's eligible. This Is Me from The Greatest Showman.
Yes, but I don't think another one on your list is.
Oh, really?
I think, didn't we look up Shallow from Lady Gaga? Wasn't that like a week late?
Shallow, I think, definitely came out in time. It was the album that didn't come out.
I thought Shallow came out late.
I think Shallow's eligible.
I think that came out first. In the meantime, I'll talk about This Is Me, which I think was submitted. It was the big hit from The Greatest Showman soundtrack. The Greatest Showman soundtrack was one of the top selling albums of the year, a huge success, a number one album on the Billboard 200, and it'd be a great way to recognize the success of the album, and also a hugely empowering song that was nominated for Best Original Song at the Academy Awards. And there's also a great story behind that, how you should be empowered and feel good about yourself, and you can triumph over the odds, and all sorts of great, concepts that are all wrapped into a song. So that's a possibility. And Katie, you looked up Shallow?
September 27th, y'all are right.
Yeah. So it is eligible. And so maybe Lady Gaga's Shallow from A Star Is Born could get in here, especially considering all the love A Star Is Born is getting, but the album itself is not eligible.
If not here, then the Oscars.
Well, yeah, she's got that going. Anything else that we think are, strong possibilities for this category? Or we can just move on.
Let's go to record.
All right, so record of the year. The Record of the Year category recognizes the artist's performance as well as the overall contributions of the producer, recording engineer, and or mixer and mastering engineer, if other than the artist. And this is a song, like a single award. So Song of the Year is for songwriting. Record of the Year is more about the overall production and artist performance and the whole shebang. So that's why you'll sometimes see differences in the two categories. You know, you'll get like an earnest country song thrown into Song of the Year, and then maybe like a, you know, less delicate, so to speak, song in Record of the Year, because it's more about sort of like the overall quality of the track. Last year's winner for Record of the Year was 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars. I think a huge shoe-in will be anything by Drake. What song will it be? Probably God's Plan. But he had a bunch of hits this year.
Right.
But that's, I'm going to go Drake, God's Plan.
I think it's going to be God's Plan.
I think that's a good call. I'll go next. I think this could be where Cardi B shines, because I feel like
that'd be cool.
I Like It is just a great recorded song, which is the whole point of this category.
Huge hit, number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Of course, she did it with Bad Bunny and J Balvin, whose verses were entirely in Spanish. And this song just seems like it would really represent a lot of artists, a lot of genres. It would just give a lot of love to a lot of places with this one major nomination.
Yeah.
And it's a great song.
Jason?
It's a good question. I think that this might be where Post Malone shows up with Rockstar.
Better? Oh, but I was going to say Better Now.
Rockstar. I think that, you know, if he obviously is not going to be eligible for Best New Artist, but I think that the Grammys would be smart to have him as part of this year, just because
somewhere in the marquee categories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think that Rockstar makes the most sense. I think, again, going back to Song of the Year, I think like This Is America is probably the front runner here too. Just because I think out of any song, I would be really shocked if that was not included in Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Even I mean at least one of the two, I guess I should
just nominate it for Album of the Year too, even though there's no album.
I know, right? I mean, I just think that like that feels like the strongest, you know, huge hit, really powerful, really singular. I can't imagine This Is America by Childish Gambino kind of losing out on at least one of these two awards.
And it's a way to have something kind of, you know, political in the mix, in the top categories, and to have a political moment, so to speak.
It'll at least win short form video.
Yeah, which
sure will.
It didn't win Video of the Year at the VMAs.
Which is bizarre. But those are fan voted. It was Camila, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, not to say that Camila shouldn't be nominated in the short form video for Havana either.
No.
I think personally, Zed, Maren Morrison, Graze the Middle is like a lock for Record
that
of
makes
the Year.
Sense.
I agree.
There's no way it won't be nominated. I think, well, Katie, do you have any other thoughts on
this? Well, it's funny, Jason bringing up Post Malone, it makes me wonder if they would have submitted Better Now. The only reason I bring this up is because for me, I have like gone along not really understanding the Post Malone thing, and I fully until Better Now. So I feel like the older voters of the Grammys might be in my boat of like not getting it, quote unquote, until Better Now. Better Now just is like, it's a pop song. It's a melodic pop song, and it's like got a hook and it's great. So I'm like lumping myself in with other like old people who don't get it.
No.
What's that, Post Malone?
No, I think I'm on sort of the same train where I'm like, I think I came around a little bit more to Posty with, because I'm on a sort of a nickname basis with him now.
Wow.
With Posty, with a Better Now, and with the Sunflower track.
Oh yeah, yes, also a nice song.
Spider-Man soundtrack. Any other thoughts on this, Jason, on Record of the Year?
I agree with you on the middle. You had on this list Maroon 5, Girls Like You. I think
featuring Cardi B, the Cardi B version.
Cardi B.
Or actually, it might be with Cardi. Actually, it's featuring. It's hard to tell because she had so many features, but this is definitely featuring.
I don't really have like a good handle on... So Maroon 5 won Best New Artist, I believe.
I think so.
But I don't think they've kind of racked up... Obviously, they've had a ton of hits over the past decade and a half, but... Had they had that strong of a showing?
No, I don't think they've ever had an Album of the Year nominee or even a Record of the Year nominee.
Yeah, maybe in this pop. Love. I was thinking like maybe moves pop. Like Jagger is in the pop category or something like did well. This actually bringing up Cardi makes me wonder also, is Finesse, the Finesse remix, eligible this year?
No, I was reading something, and so stuff that isn't eligible for Record of the Year include Camila Cabello's original version of Havana.
Because it was submitted last year.
Yeah. And then same thing happened with Dua Lipa's New Rules, which we mentioned earlier. And then for some reason, unless I could be wrong, and Jason may start winking at me, Bruno Mars and Cardi B's Finesse is not eligible.
I mean, obviously
think.
It's from the Bruno album, but the remix version that got released was definitely after the fact, and it was definitely this year. It was like January or February
yeah.
that it came out.
So, I mean, I could just eat my words in a couple of days when the nominations are revealed and suddenly it's nominated.
Just figured with like what a big year Bruno had last year, obviously he has fans.
So, Jason, what's the results on Maroon 5's previous Grammy history?
So, it's interesting. They've only been nominated one time in a general category, which was Best New Artist, which they won.
Wow.
They have 11 other nominations.
All in pop duo group
all
performance?
All in pop vocal album, pop best pop duo group performance.
That's what happens.
Best pop collaboration, and they've won three total Grammys.
Well, Girls Like You was a huge number one hit. It was number one for 7 weeks on the Hot 100. It was number one as they were going into the voting process. Mm-hmm. So I think that could also help.
That's interesting.
You know, and you know, the video was sort of a female empowerment, like female, it like shined a light on ladies in a way. But also it wasn't, you know, it's not political.
There's actually a lot of good contenders for short form video of the year with This Is America, Girls Like You, Nice for What from Drake, also a star-studded empowering
God.
Video.
Just if we can just give like some sort of Screen Actors Guild nomination to Felicia Rashad as the mom, I can just watch
that's
that
in
clip.
My feelings.
Oh, shoot. Really?
Yeah,
oh, that's right. God darn it.
But
the,
yes.
The Nice for What is the reunion with the Degrassi.
No,
that's the one where
I'm upset.
This is where he gave away all the money.
No, that's God's plan. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Nice for What is the one that has like Tiffany Haddish and it has all like
Issa
a
Rae.
Bunch of yeah famous
Tracy
women.
Clearly not the one that I really
Olivia
cared
Wilde.
Can we just
so
have
funny.
The next Pop Shop podcast is going to be Keith being like, well, I've watched Drake videos.
I've watched all those videos. I just forget
week.
Which one's called what.
I love that you cycle through all of them, though.
It's like it was scripted.
That was really
right.
good.
It's
yet,
like we scripted that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Album of the year.
Yeah, let's move on to album of the year. So the award goes to the artist and to the featured artists. This can't be right. Songwriters of new material? Really? Is that really?
Oh, album of the year goes to like everybody. Yeah. My friend who's a mixer, he gets nominated when Rihanna gets nominated for an album of the year.
I didn't realize songwriters were nominated for this too.
Mm-hmm.
Producers, recording engineers, mixers, and mastering engineers credited with at least 33% playing time of the album, if other than the artist. Wow. So this is one of those weird categories where there can be like 30 nominees for one album.
Oh yeah.
You know, especially
that's
if it's like a hip hop album.
One of the best examples of that
were
was
you nominated for album of the year?
I have an album of the year Grammy. No.
Yeah.
when Daft Punk won in 2014, there were so many people on an album that got album of the year Grammy. Like Panda Bear from Animal Collective has an album of the year Grammy.
Paul Williams.
Yeah,
yeah. They all do.
Nile Rodgers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we just keep naming?
No.
Pharrell Williams.
So last year's winner of this category was 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars, along with his cavalcade of collaborators. Okay, so I'll start. I think a shoe-in is Drake's Scorpion. Now, maybe in a year where there were only five nominees, maybe it wouldn't be necessarily a shoe-in, because I think people kind of criticize the album as being overly long.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could have been more concise, which would have had a hot... but Jason's going to disagree with me.
I think it will get nominated. I don't know about shoe-in, though. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Even with eight nominees.
Let me talk about a shoe-in. Kacey Musgraves.
Wow.
I'm like, I want to steal the Kacey Musgraves moment for Golden Hour. First of all, it won Album of the Year at the CMA Awards.
Which is a good sign.
Very good sign and super surprising. Like, they, you know, CMA Awards have always given Kacey some love. She performed at the show. And but she's always kind of been a bit of a country outsider, and so the fact that she won Album of the Year was kind of insane. And I mean, it's just that good of an album, though. Like that's how good this album is. It's start to finish, just super like listenable.
You calling it right now? Kacey's going to win Album of the Year?
I would love that. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know about that, but I would absolutely love it. It's that good. And there's some weird stuff on here. I mean, High Horse is a disco country song. It's just so good. So everybody, if you have not listened to it, listen to it. And I feel very confident that it will get that Album of the Year nomination.
Katie will soon be leaving Billboard to join the publicity team with Casey
for
Musgraves.
Casey Musgraves.
Jason, do you have any other, some obvious candidates?
Yeah, I think that I wrote, in, when it came out in June, I wrote this column about how the Carters, Everything Is Love, feels like an immediate front runner.
Would Beyonce and Jay-Z even show up to the show?
I mean, who knows? But I think that... historically, Beyonce and Jay-Z have been snubbed in this category. And I think that, you know, obviously if they get nominated again, they could not necessarily win again. But I think that if the Grammys are trying to, let's say, right a few wrongs, honoring Jay-Z and just, Beyonce in one fell swoop is a good way to do that.
And just don't have anyone vote, because it's not about the nominees, it's about the voting.
The thing, the biggest hurdle of Everything Is Love winning is that I don't think it had the kind of rapturous response a Lemonade or even a 444. I think that I agree with Katie. I think Casey Musgraves will be in there. I have my own little list. I think this is where Ariana breaks through. People love Sweetener.
That would be her first. Yeah. We just talked about that. That would be huge.
And I think that I think this is Cardi's time to shine. Like, I think that Invasion of Privacy is an incredible album, and I would love to see it in there.
That would be awesome.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, neither have ever won Album of the Year,
right? Yeah,
which is crazy. I mean, Adele said that. Adele,
yes,
said that, and you were in the press room, I believe.
Yes.
Like, what does Beyonce have to do to win the damn Grammy or whatever? She said something more colorful. But if we look at the Carters' Everything Is Love as, let's say, the equivalent to The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
See, I was thinking, you know what I was thinking of was like Al Pacino, Scent of a Woman. I was like, makeup. It's the makeup award.
It's a Lifetime award.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Martin Landau award.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way, there's three Lord of the Rings films. The first two were both nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. They did not win. The third one was nominated along with a million other categories that year, and it won everything. So considering that Lemonade, 444, and Everything Is Love are part of a piece, they're part of a story, this could be a way, and both Lemonade and 444 were nominated for Album of the Year.
Yes.
So if this is nominated for Album of the Year, which it very likely could be, it could be a way to kind of recognize the full story, the full body of work, and in one fell swoop, you give Album of the Year to both Jay and Beyonce at the same time.
Yeah.
Something they haven't had before.
I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And
it'll never happen.
No, it could. It could definitely
obviously
happen.
It could.
And here's the thing. I spoke about how it wasn't rapturously reviewed. Everything Is Love is really good. Like, I think it's, again, a little underrated at this point simply because it has to be compared to a Lemonade or a 444. I don't think it's quite as strong as those, but I think that there are songs on that album that are really, really great. And I don't know. I think that I wouldn't want to bet against them if they get nominated.
Well, they'll definitely get a music video nomination for Ape Shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is the one in the loop,
right?
There
is another one. Yes, it is.
Thank you. Is that the one where
she's got a baseball bat?
Is that the one where she's like, you know, strutting down like a top of a roof and like she's flinging her hand in the air with a ring on it? Is she with like Kelly and Michelle doing something?
Can I take a weird left turn for 1 second
and
just say, watching CMA Awards made me think, sorry, CMA Awards clearly are on my mind. Watching it made me think, like, would the Grammys ever consider doing an Entertainer of the Year award like the CMA Awards? Because it really feels like such a good award. Like, it's honoring that person's entire year. And we're talking about, like, everything that person does and puts out. And even if they don't put an album out that year, like, you can still get nominated. Because sometimes people just have a big year, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if they would ever make that big of a change.
The AMAs do Artist of the Year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they always have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Anyway, it made me think about it. But I think the Grammys like honoring that album, that body of work, like that being the top prize.
Billboard, at a Billboard Awards, had the Artist of the Year.
Yes,
category.
We do. But yeah, I just, there's something I thought of while watching that.
I mean, I mean, the Grammys have other ways of honoring artists. You know, they'll have like a trustees award, you know, which is not a Grammy, but you know, they'll have ways of like people in the Hall of Fame or kind of legend award. They'll have other ways of recognizing them.
That'll be for like retrospective kind of things as opposed to
I think it's because the Grammy Awards, all their categories are for a specific piece of recorded work.
Yeah, yeah, which is what it's all about because it's about the music industry.
It's the Recording Academy.
Yeah, yeah.
But who knows, you know, as they and every other award show has to face challenges of keeping eyeballs tuning in, you know, will that mean they'll have to sort of zhuzh the nominations a bit more, just like they've already done with expanding the top 40 category? Right,
you know, one thing that I do hope, I've been thinking about this a little bit, is that I hope that by expanding the categories, they make some room for completely unexpected choices. And I think that I still am and have long been like a big indie rock fan, and indie rock is like never, ever, ever represented.
Does
at the
Arcade
Grammys.
Fire count?
As yeah,
indie rock? Bon Iver.
Bon Iver. They didn't. Didn't they both win for album?
Those
of
are
the
rare,
rare
exceptions.
Yeah,
yes.
I should say not never, ever, ever.
I think they've been purposely trying to restrain the indie rock the past few years, afraid that it would sort of screw up their hope of getting a freaking hip hop album to win. But anyway, indie rock.
I think that's a fair point, but I do think that like, look, I would love like a Latin album to get nominated. Mm. I'd love to like, I'd love to make some room. I mean, we've talked about like in our New York office, we've talked about like what are the odds that BTS gets nominated for a major Grammy? Like, I think that'd be cool.
Zero.
Like, I think it would be Keith says zero.
But obviously making a massive impact in the US. Like,
it would be completely unexpected, and I think that's part of the fun of these things.
They're not eligible for Best New Artist, by the way.
No,
oh, really?
I mean maybe look, Fake Love, man. Maybe Fake Love sneaks in.
No.
Fake Love.
What do you call it? You calling Fake Love for Record of the Year now?
I'm not. I'm just saying that like it would be cool to have something unexpected and then have me call Keith the morning of the nominations and be like,
shut
hey,
up.
Keith.
There is a spot. I mean, they would fit into the smaller categories, not the big four. Like they would fit into like the world albums maybe area.
I'm not really sure.
Anyway,
I do. I mean, that I would love nothing more than like if there was like top eight for Album of the Year. Like what if there is room for a classical album? Or some sort of rant, like the most like sort of lauded classical opera album of this year that really like made waves in the classical community and is something that
Andrea Bocelli C?
No, not like that.
actually
back.
not eligible.
No. It came out too late. But you know, maybe or like a really interesting, you know, like Jason said, a Latin album. You know, so we always think like really hugely successful things, but what if they use this power of eight nominees to sort of shine a light on kind of more obscure things, which is what, you know, historically, if you look at what the Grammys have done, like especially in the past like 30 years, you will have these outliers that come in and get a crazy nomination, like an Esperanza Spalding for Best
and
New Artist.
And then win.
And that was the year I think Bieber and Nicki were both
correct.
Nominated, I
yes.
think, maybe?
Bieber, Drake.
Drake, too,
Florence
yeah.
Florence and the Machine. And Mumford and Sons.
Oh, wait, what was the Nicki year? That was before then?
That was after.
Okay.
That was the year after.
Wow.
But then, you know, you have even kind of things that are unexpected, but not entirely out of the realm of possibility, like the Herbie Hancock River, the Joni Letters being nominated and winning for Album of the Year.
Steely Dan.
Or you know, Steely Dan. You know, things that...
Back.
But
morning
I think
those were tough.
Well, you're just listing things that won Album of the Year that you feel shouldn't have.
Yes.
Maybe I am.
but that's also the other thing where, you know, these categories, I mentioned this at the top, but I'll just say it again. There are many categories at the Grammys, and then we'll start wrapping up. There are many categories at the Grammys, including the top four, where there is an initial vote, a first round voting, where all the voting members vote, and they pick their five faves in the particular categories, and then for certain categories, including the top four, those top vote getters. I'm not sure what the number is. I think it's somewhere around like maybe like 15 or 20, somewhere around there, are then sent to a special nominations
review
committee. And that review committee then ultimately selects the nominees. So, you know, you may be the number four most popular in the first round voting, but the nominations review committee may just say, you know what, we don't want to nominate that thing at
right.
number four.
Yeah.
And then they'll pull someone at number 20 to elevate them because maybe it's a great thing that maybe didn't have enough mainstream appeal. And in a way, this could have directly impacted someone like Ed Sheeran last year, whose Divide album we all thought was going to be nominated and then wasn't, and surely it had to have had a lot of votes.
Yeah.
And maybe the review, the secret sauce, special blue ribbon committee, which literally just decides the nominees.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, if I were a voting member, I'd be like really pissed. I'm like, why the hell am I voting? Whatever. Okay, so as we wrap up, do we have maybe any, aside from the big four, are we kind of pulling for anyone or any particular song or record in maybe some of the smaller categories? And, you know, we've mentioned a lot of stuff about music video. That seems to be a very competitive category this
indeed.
Year. I'm kind of hoping that Cher will get nominated for Dancing Queen.
Oh, man.
Her ABBA tribute album. I believe it is eligible in the Best Dance Electronic Album category.
Is it eligible for Album of the Year?
I don't know. That'll never get nominated there. Shut up.
Let's rock. Let's go.
I would love 5 Seconds of Summer's Youngblood single to be nominated for Best Pop Duo Group Performance.
I think that's totally possible.
Totally possible. But they're up against, you know, all of the weird, you know, like the middle and
of course.
Girls Like You stuff. So it's, and there's only 5 nominees. So, mm-hmm. you know, is that possible? And then I had one other one before I'm letting you have a moment to simmer on this. It'd be kind of fun to see Sting and Shaggy nominated for Best Reggae Album.
Oh, 100%. Right. But will they win against whatever Marley put an album out this year is the real question.
If they get nominated, how many performances do they get at the Grammys? Oh. I'm going to either say 4 or 5.
Well,
they're going to get one for themselves, and then Sting is going to be in some special like
with Juice WRLD.
Yeah. Oh,
what
100%.
If Juice WRLD's nominated for New Artist?
It's going to be like
Juice WRLD's hit single. What's the name of it again?
Lucid Dreams.
Shut up, Jason. Samples Sting's Shape of My Heart. Right.
Yes.
It does.
And Sting gave Juice WRLD a cosign too recently. He's like on board with it.
Of course, Sting did.
He's so cool,
Sting. Are you guys looking for some? You know, you mentioned a lot of indie rock stuff. Are you hoping for any particular things, Jason, in like the alternative or rock categories that maybe we haven't talked about?
I just hope more women get nominated in the rock categories, and it's something that we've seen a lot of where. All, like, in my opinion, all the most compelling rock music being made today is being made predominantly by women.
Are Christine and the Queens considered?
Absolutely not.
No? Nah. Okay, fine.
Absolutely not.
But, you know, I'm thinking of, like Mitski and Snail Mail and Soccer Mommy and...
You're just making up names.
I'm just making up, like, I don't know if the Julian Baker album... which came out late last year would be
will Soccer cool. Mommy get nominated?
I mean, again, probably not, but
will Baby Shark be nominated
in kids? It might be.
Right, I'm done.
don't you miss this pop shop magic between the two of us?
The truth is I was gonna say Cher too, and you stole mine. You stole it. So
I have one small thing that I was thinking about. I was thinking when we were watching John Mayer accept his Legend of Live award mm-hmm. for the Billboard Live Music Summit.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
I love New Light.
Yes,
it's a crazy, bizarre song. And he's gotten plenty of Grammy love in the past. Like, they clearly love him, and I think they still embrace him as, like, this guy who's, like, keeping guitar alive. And there is a guitar solo in New Light, and I think that I think it could get... some like snuck in. I'm not sure if it would be pop or I don't know
rock
where they
performance.
Would. I don't know where they would tuck it. It was on our rock charts. I don't know where it goes exactly, but I think it should get some love.
Well,
one last thing before, because it looks like you're about to wrap up, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think will be interesting to see if the Grammys nominate in a real way, especially in the general categories, we haven't mentioned Travis Scott, who's had one of the biggest years of anybody this year, and has had huge hits. It'll be interesting to see, like,
if Astroworld get nominated for Album of the Year.
I mean,
I
don't
get
think
a rap
so.
Album nomination.
Oh, well, yeah,
I don't think so, but like,
it
I think that would be pretty
eight.
Cool. Yeah,
it's
like
possible.
I mean, talk about appealing to like a younger demographic. Like, a lot of people would care if Astroworld was nominated, or if Sicko Mode was nominated for Record of the Year. Like, I think that like. I'm not expecting those things, but I think it'll be interesting to see how they play out.
And, I mean, he did include some, you know, legendary artists in that album, including
Stevie
Wonder.
Ooh, Stevie Wonder, Sting, Juice WRLD, and Travis Scott together in one all-star cross-generational performance.
Travis is known for being very, like, experimental musically.
Cher shows up.
Taking... Travis takes a lot of risks. He's not, like, color by numbers with his music, and so maybe the Academy will appreciate that.
So many surprises... so many categories. What?
The Pop Shop this group back great. Together again.
This is great.
Or for the first time.
The very first time. Tune in to the Grammy nominations on December 5th. And, of course, go to Billboard.com because we'll be covering the heck out of it.
Yes,
you know
we will.
And what else do we have to say about nominations? Anything else? That's it?
That's it. I think we really covered it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope all our predictions come true.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Made this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose. Yeah, jump out, boys. That's Nike boys hopping our coast. This shit way too big. When we pull up, give me the loot.
Oh, that was such a fun chat.
Yes.
It was so great actually having all three of us in the same room together.
Mm-hmm. A Pop Shop first.
Yeah, a Pop Shop first. You heard it here first. And, you know, we didn't fly off the rails too much.
Not too much.
I mean, I realize that I don't seem to remember which video treatment goes with which Drake song.
I hope you all enjoyed that.
Katie certainly did, and she still giggles over it. I mean, I saw all the videos.
Just like how he just kept cycling through them. It was so good. Mm. It really brought me joy.
Yeah, clearly it still does. But yeah, tune into the Grammy nominations next week, or depending on when you're hearing this, it could have already happened, to see if some of the folks that we listed actually get a nod. It'll be interesting because I don't even think on any of the categories do we actually name eight possible contenders.
That's a good point.
It's just super hard now with eight.
I mean, it's easier and harder. It's like we might be right because there's more opportunities to be right, but it's also it seems like it would be even harder to guess those deeper nominees.
The deep cuts.
Yeah.
I think what Jason said towards the end where he was saying like maybe this will be opportunity for
it's a chance for them to get weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like throw in like a random like Latin album.
I love that. I hope that I actually would not be surprised if that's how the Grammys go because they have honored some kind of left field things in the past. I think that would definitely be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Is to use those extra categories to give somebody some shine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, the more I think about it, I'm like, oh, like, who else could it be? I don't know. We'll find out next week.
Indeed.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be. 45 years ago this week, the brother-sister duo of the Carpenters hit number one on the Hot 100 with Top of the World. The tune climbed 3-1 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart dated December 1st, 1973. It was the second number one for the pair, siblings Richard and Karen Carpenter, who previously topped the list with They Long to Be Close to You. They would later score a third and final number one with Please, Mr. Postman. The Carpenters notched a dozen top 10 hits in the 1970s and were so hot that decade, every one of their 17 chart entries from 1970's Close to You through 1976's I Need to Be in Love reached the top 40. All told, the act accumulated 20 top 40 charting singles in their chart career. The Carpenters collected their final charting single in 1982 with Beechwood 45789, which peaked at number 74 on May 8th, 1982, less than a year before Karen died of heart failure caused by complications related to anorexia. So there you have it, a kind of sad chart set of the week. 45 years ago this week, the Carpenters were on top of the world with Top of the World. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find. Since you've been around, your love's put me at the top. Okie dokie. Do you have any, are you a fan of the Carpenters?
Well, I was going to say, I think we've talked about this before, but Dan has a cousin who does like a Karen Carpenter tribute show in Las Vegas.
And I've seen a video clip of her performing a song, and it was pretty great.
She's been working at she goes thrifting for all of like Karen's outfits.
There was one song you particularly showed me. I was like, wow, this is pretty great.
Oh yeah, she's been working on getting that voice quality, which is, I mean, that's a hard voice.
It's
a
Karen
beautiful
Carpenter.
Classic voice.
I mean, if you haven't listened to the Carpenters, and maybe you know you haven't. Karen Carpenter is one of the most beautiful voices, and really all of her singles are just just sterling. So just go check out their greatest hits. Check out, you know, the song we just played, Top of the World, in
check
full.
Check out Tommy Boy, where they sing Superstar in the car.
That's a segue.
Do you remember that scene? It's so good.
I have not seen Tommy Boy.
Oh, what? It's a classic.
Well,
Holds up.
I don't remember Drake videos, and I haven't seen Tommy Boy. I failed you. So what song should we go out on?
Oh, man.
Superstar?
Yes.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye. Don't you remember?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.